You are listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 64.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help lay trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Hello and welcome to V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is normally one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and this week's spoiler-filled review will cover Death, the High Cost of Living by Neil Gaiman. And joining me today, all the way from Florida, is Amanda. Hi.
Yay! Thank you. Hi.
I don't have an applause anymore, because I could have insert that.
That's okay. I'll live.
Yeah, I don't use that program anymore. So how was your Memorial Day weekend?
Pretty good, I suppose. I got Saturday off, which is always awesome. And you know, cookouts, that sort of thing. You know, beach for us. I don't know if you have a nice beach here. We won't have a nice beach for much longer, so you know, taking advantage of it. Yep, pretty much it.
Well, I went to the beach, but it's the Pacific Ocean, so it's always cold, except in Hawaii.
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
I said I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You have cold water.
Oh, no worries. I've always wanted to go to Florida. I've just never got a chance to.
Depends on which part you go to.
Are you going to the Harry Potter theme park?
You bet. I don't know when, but yeah, I'm going.
Are you a big Harry Potter fan?
I wouldn't say big, but I read all the books and I could vaguely know what you were talking about.
Oh, I haven't read any of the books. So, yeah.
Well, if you don't mind being a grown man reading that sort of thing, then I recommend it.
I tried to get into it back around, 2000 or so, but she's just not a good writer. Is that wrong? Is that wrong for me
to say?
Don't
worry about it. You didn't miss
much. I like the films. I think she's an excellent world builder, but I don't like Harry Potter because he doesn't do anything, at least according to the films. Is it like that in the books? He doesn't really do anything.
Well,
right?
He kind of has his other two to make him look good, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He's not much of a hero. He's no Luke Skywalker. I don't know what that means.
There's that. Yeah, I was just thinking about it.
Yeah.
He's not old.
How old was Mark Hamill when he... I don't know.
I'm thinking about it.
Early 20s?
Yoda. Maybe.
Early mid-20s?
I just remember, you know, Yoda telling him he was too old to be trained as a Jedi.
Yeah, well, and then... I don't want to get into the prequels. God knows they suck. And then you have... I don't know. It's so hard to even watch the originals now because the prequels just ruin... They ruined the originals. How do you do that? I don't know.
Make some skill.
Well, yeah. Oh, well. I suppose we should talk about something. I don't know what.
Vertigo News.
I got a couple of news bits. Let me see here. Okay, so, like I said... Last episode, whenever that was, a couple weeks ago, Air ended, and apparently Unknown Soldier is ending with issue 25. Did you read that?
No, I haven't.
Well, you know, I should probably ask you, what are your favorite Vertigo titles? I should probably ask that.
Well, I haven't actually read a lot of Vertigo. Well, I kind of just happened to my local library and happened upon an issue of the Sandman. And I've just been kind of slowly working my way out from there. Basically, so far all I've ever finished is, you know, the Sandman and the Bird Creature series. But I've read bits and pieces of other things.
But you have the Death Absolute, right?
Yes, I have absolute all of it.
What do you mean, all of it?
It's very shiny.
Oh, I know. Those things are huge.
Yeah, yeah. You could beat somebody to death with one of these books.
Yeah. I've not. What series do you like more, Preacher or Sandman? There is a right answer to this question, by the way.
Really?
Because
I was gonna say, illustration wise, I like the Sandman, but like, I'd probably honestly choose the Preacher because it's just a lot more fun to read.
And that is the right answer. Ding ding ding.
I'm glad I won.
I must be the only one in the world that doesn't really like the Sandman. I don't know. I don't know. Everyone seems to love it.
Oh, I do love it, but I guess what I would say is what makes it awesome is, I don't know, I feel like it's a unique sort of storyline, I guess.
Really?
Is that what I would say?
I have a feeling I've read something like that before. Maybe not in comic form, but I don't know. Feels familiar.
You might have.
Yeah, but I don't know. I haven't finished the series. I'll probably get to that in like a month or two. So I gotta order the rest of the trades from InStockTrades.com, where you can save at least 37% on all your trades and free shipping over $50. There's no actually sponsor for this show. I just like saying that. Just in case.
I was wondering about that. I was like, like, royalty fees.
Porsche is a fine automobile.
They sure are.
Yeah, they are. Okay, but Unknown Soldier, I don't know if you ask the library to order it. You might or may not like it. It's pretty violent. It's pretty rough to read. I could see why it's ending over. Yeah, I don't know how you sell that. I don't know. But anyways, the next bit of news. Do you read Fables?
I would like to. I'm pretty sure somebody I know has it. I could borrow it. Oh, I just seem to lose time.
Okay. Fables is like Sandman. Everyone loves it, but I don't. Yeah.
No, why is that?
Well, I actually like Sandman more than Fables. Maybe it's because Bill Willingham's a dick, and I can't fucking stand him. But Fables is... You ever have someone overhype something for you? Hello?
Do what?
You ever have someone overhype something for you?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and then you read it, and you're like, oh... That's kind of how Sandman and Fables are. Mike actually overhyped The Ring for me, and then I watched it and I was like, "Dude, you scared of this shit?" He's like,
"I actually like The Ring."
Well,
I mean, I didn't think it was scary. I just thought it was fun to watch.
Well, I don't know, May. It might have been because Mike and another friend just totally overhyped it. But there's a Fables commercial on BBC America, if you haven't seen it. They're running it there.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, well, there'll be a link somewhere on the forum. But Fables, the problem I have with Fables is, you know, I don't know how much you know if you read Wolverine. But he's insanely powerful now, and Fables is kind of like that. Like, there's a character that's like Wolverine. He's the big bad wolf. He's insanely powerful, and then you can't kill characters because people believe in them. So there's like no tension. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. You might like it. You might like it. Everyone loves it. Maybe I'm just weird. I just like
things
people like. And the last thing. Oh, did you have anything else to say?
No, I got nothing. Okay.
All right. The last bit of news is that I don't know. Have you read Swamp Thing?
Have I read what?
Swamp Thing.
I started to, but I couldn't get into it. I don't know why. I just couldn't.
Oh, was it Alan?
That makes me an awful person.
Was it Alan Moore's Swamp Thing?
Yes.
Wow, I
like his stuff, but yeah, I'm gonna go to hell. You don't have to tell me.
I actually like the one and only trade I've read of that. Well, anyways, Swamp Thing, along with other characters, got this term called Bind from Vertigo, and apparently they're bringing him and other characters back to the DCU. Like him and I think Shade the Changing Man and pretty much all those old 80s or 90s where they crisscrossed. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you read DC?
I've read just about anything better than it, but that's about it. Catwoman, I like her too. I'm pretty limited in my experience there.
Hey, that's okay. So am I. Things I want to read that aren't Vertigo, I acquire and then read them on my computer.
Right.
And they're not that good. Sometimes I'll buy stuff, but most of the time, ooh. Well, okay, that's all I got for the news. Man, it's hot in here. I need some ice cream. Yeah, I like to go on random whatever. All right, I suppose we should talk about, what is it?
And now it's time for the rundown.
Death, the High Cost of Living by Neil Gaiman. I don't know. Yeah, whenever there's an English name, I like to pronounce it like that. Harry Potter, Mike Carey. Hello, Governor. Oh, well. So, Amanda, would you like to give a recap of Death?
I suppose so. I'm just not sure how in-depth or how brief I should be about it, but I suppose I could. Alright, so Death, the High Cost of Living. As you may or may not know, Death, you know, prominent feature in The Sandman after about issue number 8. I suppose, if you're reading the trades or the comics instead of the Absolute Edition. She's such a big hit that she continued to show up frequently. You know, sassy older sister kind of character. How have I been so far?
What was that?
Good.
Yeah,
how
have
I been so far?
You're fine. you're doing okay.
I'm confused.
Don't be nervous. The way I like to imagine it is that nobody's listening. I do that on a lot of things, and then I get...
Okay, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Wait. Okay, another fun fact. I looked this up. I don't know if I could verify it, but supposedly Death, the High Cost of Living was the first official... thing that Vertigo released with the Vertigo name instead of the DC label. Fun fact.
Really?
I think that was 98. I don't know. You can fact check that if you want to. It's just something I heard somewhere or another. Death, the High Cost of Living. I don't know if I should say all the chapter names. Whatever. We'll just go through a summary. Basically, it opens with ratty old looking bridge. I think you get the impression it's New York just by the skyline, which maybe London. The bridge. It opens up, old homeless lady. Her name's Mad Hetty. If you've read The Sandman, you know her. If you've read Hellblazer, you know her. She basically pays these three ratty young women to capture her dove that she subsequently cut open to do readings. People used to, you know, do that, cut open animals, read their entrails, that sort of thing. Sadly enough, that's a trade that isn't so popular anymore. I don't know how I'm doing this.
Yeah.
All right. I'll just go. I'm just gonna go.
Okay.
Okay. And then the next main character you're introduced to is a guy named Sexton Furnival, which I don't know where in the hell he thought of that name, but it made me laugh the first time I read it, which now I understand why the boy wants to kill himself, which the next couple pages are basically him explaining why he wants to kill himself. 16-year-old boy. Happened to the day. You can kind of tell that he's estranged from his kind of estranged wife. His mother kind of kicks him out of the house. You know, go have a nice day. Don't know if you've ever been, you know, told to go play in traffic by your parents, but I was told that plenty of times. So this kid decides to go play in a dump instead of traffic, which I don't know which would be safer, but he chooses the dump. And manages to trap himself under a huge, huge refrigerator. And he gets saved by a girl named Dee Dee, which I don't know if you know what she looks like, but it's deaf. You can tell. Black hair, pale skin, huge Egyptian onk. She's kind of hard to miss. She helps the boy out of the dumpster and basically proceeds to drag him around town with her for the rest of the story. Her cover story is that she's a young girl whose entire family just died, and she's kind of living by herself under the radar without social services knowing. And she's aided by a lady whose name is Mrs. Robbins. You'll meet her again. Lovely lady, I'm sure. She takes Sexton into the apartment, you know, lets him see around, and then they get a visit from Mad Hetty, who basically threatens Sexton's life. If she wants death to find her heart, it's missing. She's 2 months old. She hit her heart somewhere years ago. She doesn't know where it is. You know, it's an awful thing to lose, so she goes looking for it. Or she doesn't go looking for it. She thinks that death can find it. She basically says, go find it. Go now, or I'll kill this boy. And Jeff agrees to do it because I guess she likes helping harmless old ladies. I'm all for that too, by the way. Then that's the end, I guess, of what would be the first of what the first three original, I guess, little comics he came in. I think the trades are combined, all three. Yeah. Anyway, next section. It's Dee Dee dragging Sexton through the town with her while she searches for Mad Hetty's heart. And she basically is going through and meeting people and they're giving her free stuff, free food, free taxi rides. She gets it for free. The little boy, he's amazed. He can't believe he's doing this just by being nice to people. You know, he's a vinegar, she's a honey, that sort of thing. Then you're introduced to a really cranky old man who is intent on capturing Death, but more specifically her onk. And he has a little minion named Theo. Theo shows up again. Nice enough boy, wears a cross to Dee Dee's onk. You'll notice him. Awesome. Back to Dee Dee and Sexton. They end up in a club where they meet Hazel and Fox Club, which if you've read, you know, some of the, or I think it's, I don't know which part of the Sandman they show up in, but they show up. I think it's a game with you, is it? Anyway, you've met Fox and Hazel before. You'll recognize them or you won't. You'll learn their stories later. They show up in the next Death edition, which is The Time of Your Life. Fun stuff. Basically, Hazel gets Dee Dee / Sexton to the club for free, where Fox Club is playing. Sexton inadvertently gets Fox Club a record deal. And they meet Theo, who has come to basically lure Dee Dee to the old man so he can steal her onk, which happens. He steals the onk after he kills Theo because Theo was going to sell it to somebody else, not knowing what he has. It happens to a lot of people. They get killed for not knowing shit. So Dee Dee and Sexton, they get locked up in a room together. You know, it's basically them. Chill in a room, waiting to die. Fun stuff. And then that ends the second edition of the 3-Set comic. And then number 3. And that would be Mad Hetty basically busting in on Mrs. Robbins and saying, hey, I need some tea. And they end up coming to free Sexton and Dee Dee, who have just been as I mentioned, chilling in this room, waiting to die. You can do the stuff. But they get rescued by Mrs. Robin and Mad Hattie. And in the meantime, Dee Dee has inadvertently found the container for Mad Hattie's heart. It was in some of those Russian nesting dolls. I thought it was kind of cute. Sexton and Dee Dee get released. They go wandering the city. They end up somewhere with breakfast. The old man that catches them the first place happens to them. He gets chased down for looking like a bum, which if you read this and you see this guy, he does look like a bum. I wouldn't let him in my restaurant either. But, you know, it's Dee Dee. She's wandering around with an onk, her and Sexton. She happens across this little booth, and she spends all of the money she has in her pocket to buy a new onk because the old man still had it because he assumed that the onk contained all of death's powers. That was why he wanted it so bad. But she's kind of like, yeah, whatever. It's the worst. So she buys a new one, and she kind of goes wandering the city without Sexton for a while. And they meet up again, and they find us and they talk a little. Dee Dee delivers Mad Hattie's heart to Sexton and says, you know, make sure she gets this. And probably falls backwards into the fountain and dies, which, you know, freaks Sexton out. But he gets over it pretty quickly. He's screaming my head off, but yeah, whatever, he wasn't concerned. The old man shows up.
Pardon the interruption, but Skype crapped out. And now back to the show.
All right. Well, that was a good enough. That was a good review. I think you pretty much got to the end.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. But
except for, you know, I never really explained, you know, why death decides to live as a human being, you know, once a day or once for one day.
Okay. Well, if you want, you could explain it now.
Oh well. Basically, I guess her theory is she'll spend one day every 100 years. Living as one of the many, many, many creatures she has to reap. Just, you know, to know what it feels like to be a living thing, you know, with a limited lifespan instead of, you know, something that was in existence before the first living thing was born and will be the last thing in existence when the last living thing dies.
Okay. What I'm confused, you said Mad Hattie has appeared in other stories? I have no idea who she is.
Mad Hattie is basically this crazy old lady. She's 250 years old, which nobody's ever refuted her, not Dream or Death or anybody, so I'm going to assume that she really is that old. And I can't remember when she first showed up in the Sandman. She's just there. And it's basically a story about people who are, like, you know, old, like, I wouldn't say immortal, but have lived a long time. You know, like, you know the story of, you know, Dream and Death and how they let this man named Hob live forever and ever, and he lives, like, hundreds and hundreds of years.
I read that trade.
Yeah.
I don't remember Mad Hattie.
She's just this crazy old lady. She looks completely filthy. You rarely get a look at her face. She wears a hat with, like, a little... Is there, like, a flower in it? Something like that. She shows up at least once, I know, possibly twice, this story. And somebody told me that she shows up in the Hellblazer series, too, but I've never read that one, so I'll have to have someone else confirm it for me.
She's
a crazy old lady that furthers the plotline.
Well, I've read Hellblazer, too, but I don't remember her.
The crazy old homeless lady?
Well, I haven't read all of Hellblazer. There's, like, a lot. I don't remember her.
She's just different.
Oh, well, what about the blind man? Because I didn't...
Oh, the blind man?
I didn't recognize him either. Yeah.
I don't know that he ever shows up again or shown up before. I've certainly never noticed him. Although, knowing the way that Diamond, or whatever we want to pronounce his last name, does his stories... He probably has shown up somewhere before, but I can't remember seeing him. And I keep thinking his name's Jeremiah. I don't know if that's because I read that or that's the name I just decided to give him, but I can't remember him from anywhere else other than this story.
Huh.
And I don't know. He's just an old blind man who wants death's power.
Okay, well, he seemed interesting. I was more interested in the... in those characters than the boy.
Yeah, the boy, he makes me kind of angry, but...
Why does he make you angry?
Well, you know, his talk of suicide and, like, the girl who I didn't mention that he meets in the club tells him, you know, boredom isn't a good reason to kill yourself, but, you know, he carries on.
It's as good a reason as any, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's not like there's a better reason to kill yourself, but...
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there is. Oh, never mind.
I can't think of one. Yeah. Boredom. I think boredom would be fine. I think killing yourself because you're bored. We've all thought about killing ourselves.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, what about... Okay, so... Why was Mad Hedy alive for so long? Was that explained in The Sandman also?
No. Like, I don't know when it is. I think it's when Dream and Delirium, they go out looking for destruction.
I read that one.
Yeah, that's the story I've been talking about, and I just suddenly remembered who it was and what they were doing. And basically, they just meet a series of people that have lived for a long time, but, like, Hob is the only person that they ever really say, you know, this is why he's lived so long. Like, Mad Hedy, she just shows up, tells everybody she's 250 years old, and, like, Dream treats her with, you know, like, he treats everybody, and Death is absolutely, you know, respectful towards her. So I don't have any reason to believe that she's lying about her age, but it's never explained how she got that old.
I don't remember her in that trade. Actually, in that trade, the people they meet are, I want to say, mostly gods.
Yeah,
god-like.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. She might not have shown up in that one, but she did. I know she showed up somewhere. I just can't remember where.
Yeah, because I know they got that Hob guy. He doesn't want it old, but it's like, why didn't Death take her? Actually, that heart thing reminds me of something. You don't play. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
I don't play what?
It reminds me of a game I play, and then they did a story, which I guess has some basis in reality, about a guy who... He was basically immortal because he hit his heart. Yeah. I guess that applies here. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
What game is that?
L5R, don't play it. It's a rubbish game.
No.
Okay. No, if you like getting a headache, you would like playing it. But it's cheaper than Magic.
Well, okay.
But hey. But yeah, they had that story, and I was like, oh... That's where I got it from, I guess. I don't know. It was weird. Okay.
For sure.
Well, did you like the trade?
I guess, you know. I wouldn't say it's my absolute favorite of anything, you know, Sandman related. But I'm sure there's something I liked less.
What is your favorite Sandman-related thing?
Well, since I read the Absolute Edition, it doesn't really break them down well enough, so I couldn't really say what trade number. But, storyline... What is my favorite storyline? I think I do like, probably... I guess I would be, like, trade number one, where Dream gets captured and gets out. I like the little... You know,
that's...
Ring of Revenge, TNX.
That's my favorite one I read so far. And I remember some dude, he really loves it. He loves Sandman. Peter Rios from Comic Geek Speak. And he said that the story after the first one is nothing like it, that first trade. And I remember going, oh, it kind of sucks, dude. And he's right. He's right. No, just the way it was written is that it's not indicative of how the story is. And you know, I was disappointed because the first one I thought was really good.
Yeah.
It kind of got all downhill. Down and up. Yeah, every other trade is good.
Yeah, Yeah. You know, I'm not really familiar with his writing style, so, you know, I wonder what the explanation for that would be.
I don't know. I'm going to try to get him on the show. He'll probably say no or ignore
me. He's on Twitter.
Yeah, he is on Twitter. I don't follow him.
I do.
I'm tempted to. I'll just email him. Like, hey, Neil, would you like to talk about the saying, man? Ah, that was a horrible one.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't hear that all the time.
Yeah, well, he might not. He has all these books. He wrote Batman. I heard it was a terrible story, though. Batman.
Yeah, what else did he then?
I've read a couple of his books. To be honest, he writes the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't read any of his books. I've read like his short stories and his children's books, but I don't know that I ever finished any of his novels, except maybe Neverwhere.
I read Neverwhere, but I don't remember it. It's weird.
I liked it. They even made a little television show out of it. You can watch on Netflix, but I never made it all the way through that either.
Well, I'm indifferent because I don't remember. It must not have been good, I guess. No, it must have been better.
I liked it.
American Gods. Ah, that book.
I started that one and couldn't finish it. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Well, I don't know about American Gods.
The problem I have with Neil Gaiman is most of his stories seem to be about gods in today's world. Like, it's great. Great. And Nancy Boys was really good, though, even though it was that plot line. You might want to read that.
I actually have it on my shelf. I just haven't brought myself to read it.
Oh, they're black, by the way.
They're what?
They're black. Because he had people... Because Anansi is an African god.
Yeah, I know who Anansi is.
Yeah, people are surprised. Or they were surprised when he said the two main characters, the brothers in the book, when he said, yeah, they're black. And they're always
black.
Well,
that makes sense to me.
Well, not to me, because they're English, or they're living in England. And I was confused. I was like, a Nazi is an African god. Why? Because, you know, they're English. You don't think of a black person when you think of the English, if you're American.
I think of...
Think of...
Who do I think of?
Yeah, well,
I guess the queen, really. Yeah.
Exactly.
A little old white lady.
It's like weird. To me, it's weird when you see a black or Indian guy with an English accent. You're like, oh, Dr. Bashir, you sound weird.
I haven't met too many.
Yeah, well, TV, on TV, or movies.
Right.
I see, I go on topic, off topic again. Okay, so...
No worries.
Does that Absolute have more than... One, I heard it was a ripoff. How did you think it?
Well, I like to collect things compulsively, so I don't know. But what it contains is an introduction from a woman that he's now affianced to. I think she's an interesting lady. It also includes a copy of the story, The Sound of Her Wings, where you first meet Death, and. Facade from Sandman number 20, where she helps what was her name? Rain. She was cursed, well, blessed by, the god Ra to change her, her form. You know what I'm talking about? Did you read that one?
That's very Neverwhere. I read it. Don't remember.
Oh, well, it includes two copies of stories from the Sandman that Death showed in. And, the High Cost of Living. And the time of your life. And then it's basically, extra material.
Well, people were saying for the price, it was a bit thin.
That's a gift. I suppose I can't really bitch about the price, but no, I probably wouldn't have bought it myself if someone hadn't bought it for me.
But if you do buy trades, you should buy them from instocktrades.com. Fine place.
Well, already then.
I can't wait to get my bonus. I want to buy more comics. Okay. Did your Absolute also come with one of the worst things I've read in a while? Well, not as bad as The Historian. God, that book's so hard to read. Did it come with that the 6 pages, that commercial anti-STD? You know what I'm talking about?
The little pamphlet that's in basically all black and white.
In this trade, it was like a commercial, a Nancy Reagan commercial, where Death was talking about having sex. And
actually,
did you get that?
I think it's in here. Yeah, it is.
Did you like that? That was terrible.
Well.
I guess you didn't think it was that bad.
I read over it. Whatever. I didn't really form an opinion on it, other than I thought the artwork itself was a bit funky. It wasn't, I guess because it wasn't polished. I was like, well, I don't know, this didn't tell me on anything, but.
Oh, well,
I guess what I'm trying to say is I didn't form an opinion on it.
Oh, I didn't. The artwork to me was, I didn't really care. It's just, I thought the story was pretty good, and then you get to something that's out of place and weird. It'd be like my mom talking about having the sex talk or something out of the blue, even though I'm 28. It was weird. It was out of place. It wasn't like reading a Bill Willingham intro, because those are just offensive. Damn, I hate him. Yeah, okay.
I get what you're trying to say.
It was only 6 pages, but it's got to be the weirdest thing I've ever read in a comic book, just to go, oh, right. It was very 80s, like the Sandman.
Yes.
See, that's kind of the problem I have with the Sandman. It's all very 80s.
Dated?
Yeah, but, having a safe sex commercial, granted, it's still the correct thing, but I don't want to read that in a comic book, for God's sakes. Anyways, that was just me. So, do you have anything else to say about Death? You see?
Not really, other than maybe of all the endless, I like her the best.
Right. Oh, yeah, I like her, but I also like Delirium.
She's cute, yeah. I'll give you that. She freaks me out, I guess. Delirium freaks me out. Some of the things she does, it's just like, that hurts my brain.
Maybe it's because I can relate to Delirium. I'm a bit wacky. You know who I like the least?
Who?
Dream. Maybe that's
really?
Why. Yeah, it's... Dream, to me, is the Harry Potter. Ooh, is it Harry Potter? He's like Harry Potter.
I would probably choose Desire as my least favorite. She pisses me off, basically. That's the only reason I don't like her. She's bitchy, ultra.
She's all right, but she's not, like, mopey like Dream is. Dream.
Well, yeah, there's that, too.
I'm Dream.
I guess it's,
I'm sad.
Do you hate, the depressed person or the bitchy person?
Yeah, I don't know, it's, like, in Sandman, I like the trades, with the exception of the first trade, I like the ones where they don't really deal with Dream. Or that he has other characters. He dies in Sandman, right? Yeah, right?
Wait, who?
Dream dies? Spoilers.
Yeah.
I've not read that.
Sorry,
far.
Everybody.
That's spoilers for myself. I've not read
that. Well, I guess I could say yes and no.
Oh.
He dies, but no, he doesn't.
I read it in the Vertigo Encyclopedia. So I'm like just waiting for it. I'm like, couple more trades and I get to see him die. So I don't like it. It's kind of like, I don't know. Have you read this book, a series called The Sword of Truth by Terry Gutrein?
Sorry.
What was that?
Okay. There's a guy, I love him to death, but he has bought me like almost every single copy of that series because I refused to read it. I don't know why. It's just, now, like, I don't care if it's a good series or not. I'm not going to read it based on just on principle. So go ahead and talk about it. I know he ranted and raved about the TV series forever.
The TV series got canceled. It's a lot of fun, though. It's completely different from the book. Okay, the problem I have with... my point? Okay, you haven't read it. If you ever do get around to reading it, I thought it was pretty good up until book 3 or 4. And then it goes downhill, and you start to hate the main character, Richard, and you want him to die because he's such a pompous ass. That's kind of... I don't hate Dream, but I want him to die like Richard.
You want him punished, is basically what you say. No, I actually did read the first book in that series. I just haven't gone further than that.
Don't bother. You'll waste.
I'm not going to, but, you know, my friend's just going to make the rest of my life miserable. That's all.
Is your friend a guy or a girl?
A guy.
Tell him he's an idiot. Idiot for liking it. Tell him he's an idiot for liking that shit.
Okay.
Say Mark Johnson from V for Vertigo says you're a fucking idiot for liking, what's it called? Sword of Truth series.
I'll just refer him here, but you know, he has every single book. He has an autographed copy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I don't care, you know. I could tell him, you know, somebody else thinks the series sucks all day long. I don't know that it'll ever go through to him.
You could say, I've actually read this series. And I used to be a fan. That's what this is. You ever get disappointed? Oh, I guess it's like if you're a Star Wars fan and you used to love it and then you justified the prequels. It's kind of like that.
Oh, man, that's awful.
Yeah, man. It's bad. I don't want to watch or read anything. It's all disappointing. Oh, actually, I do got a book you might want to read. It's a great book. People think I'm out of my mind when I recommend this book. Confessions of a Shopaholic. You should read it. It's not like the movie.
You know, I haven't seen the movie. I actually did consider reading the book at one point or another, but I didn't. I don't know why. But yeah, I'll read it. Why not?
Don't watch the movie because it's shit.
I'm not gonna watch the movie.
But the book, the series of books, even though my friends call me a fag, it is.
Still with.
Yeah, it's a great read. It's great. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
And The Time Traveler's Wife, while we're at it. That was a good book. Except the ending was kind of honky. I didn't get it.
Oh, I didn't even consider reading that one because just seeing previews for the movie just made me angry.
Well, I don't think the movie's anything like the book. I haven't seen the movie, but that's what people tell me.
That happens, like, so often. I really shouldn't, like, you know, form an opinion of a movie based on a book and vice versa, but it happens. I see a movie and think the book version's got to be awful.
Except in The Da Vinci Code, they were both awful. I went there.
I never saw the movie.
No, I thought...
I read the book and thought, this is insane.
I actually enjoyed the book of Angels and Demons. I haven't seen the movie.
I never read that one.
I thought it was way better than The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like a prequel, but it is a prequel, but The Da Vinci Code never mentions what he did in Angels and Demons. It's written better. Yeah. You might like that.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it is.
I'm trying to find someone to borrow it from.
Well, he's rich now. He doesn't have to write good. That's how it works.
He's rich now.
So,
yeah.
If I ever become a famous writer, I'm fucking adverbs galore, dialogue. It's going to be written like shit. Yeah.
Nice. People will still buy it.
Yeah, because people still buy Stephen King. Not that he's a bad writer.
I didn't like reading Stephen King.
Well, he writes, like, he's starting to write the same story. And he can't write endings. I've said that before, but he can't write endings. I don't know if you...
Only so far you can go.
Yeah.
I've read some of his books. What I liked better was the book his son wrote. I love that book, but Stephen King, not so much.
Well, I've not read his son.
Oh, he goes by the name of Joe Hill. I think he's only written like 2 books.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that nepotism. I'm kind of jealous. Like that Aragon kid, who I heard can't write either. Man. I'm a hater. I'm a hater. I'm not going to lie. I'm a hater.
That's okay. That's fine.
I'm bitter. I'm an old bitter man, and I'm not even 30 yet. Oh.
It's a terrible life.
It is. Oh, I guess I should wrap this show up. Well, we got on a tangent. Okay, I give this book a 4 out of 5. Blah, blah. What do you give it?
Oh, maybe like a 3 or 3.5.
Wow. Lower than me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Change my score.
What can I say? I like the story, but I didn't love the story, and I felt like the only thing that made it like extremely awesome was the artwork.
Oh.
Although it could have been more defined. So maybe a 3.
Wow. Maybe I should change my answer.
No,
I really enjoyed it. It packed a lot of punch for being like a fifth of an inch thick or something. Packed a lot. It was pretty good. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, if you still are. Never know how it goes when I go on tangents. As always, appreciate it. Feedback, iTunes. Next week's pick will be Jack of Fables, The Bad Prince. Oh, if you don't like... You know what? I don't like Fables, but I do like Jack of Fables. I think it's good. I'm talking to you that time, Amanda.
Oh, okay. Being noted.
I don't think it's written... I don't know. My apartment's a mess. Okay. Comments, questions, suggestions, email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. And there's the comicforums.com if they're ever working. Who knows? To see what's coming up, there's the website, vfortvertigo.blogspot.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @Hellsfire. And remember, I got nothing. I'm tired. Bye.
And like that?